Some governors and lawmakers think they've found a way out of their state's budget problems. They want to expand gambling, and they're proposing a bargain roughly along these lines. Approve slot machines or casinos, and in return, some of the profits will pay for education. Almost everybody likes education funding, so that bargain offers reassurance to skeptical voters. The states considering this trade-off include Texas, where the chairman of a legislative committee that oversees gambling is State Representative Kino Flores.
That's my nickname. I go by Kino.
Like the game.
Like the game.
Any connection between that and your current job?
None.
I'm thinking you must at least play Keno.
None. I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't gamble. When I want to double my money, I just fold it in half and put it in another pocket.
All the same, Representative Flores favors a plan to install video lottery machines, which are similar to slot machines. They'd be at locations where Texans already gamble, the state's horse racing tracks. If this plan is approved, Flores contends that it could earn more than $1 billion per year to cut property taxes.
It'll be money that'll be generated that'll come from people who knowingly and willingly are going to give it up.
What makes it a good idea to add a video lottery in the state of Texas?
Well, what makes it a good idea is that we are taxing our constituency to death.
So if you support a video lottery, you're going to cut your property taxes.
That's the incentive. I mean, that's how we want to structure it. We want there to be a win-win situation. It will be a constitutional amendment.
In most states, I know property taxes generally go to fund the schools. Is that the case in the state of Texas as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when you say this is going for property tax relief, what that means is ultimately video lottery money would go to finance schools in Texas.
All the money, with the exception of the operational money of it, but all the money that is generated will be tied in directly for the payment of school finance in the state of Texas.
As Representative Kino Flores and other officials discuss that plan in Texas, officials in Minnesota have their own proposal. Minnesota House Speaker Linda Boudreau is drafting a bill that would allow companies to bid for the right to build a casino and share the profits with the state.
It would authorize one casino, and it would create a public corporation so that we could take a portion of the net revenues and use them to do good things for Minnesotans.
What do you envision when the bidding is done?
I envision that it's likely the site could be very close to the Mall of America. And I'm sure have heard of the Minnesota Mall of America. Nearly 40 million people visit that mall, enter the doors of the Mall of America each year.
More people visit that mall every year than visit Las Vegas. The gaming industry contends that a casino built in the path of those consumers would raise $1 billion per year for Minnesota. Linda Boudreau wants some of the money to provide college scholarships for Minnesota students with a B average or better. Officials are also promoting expanded gambling proposals in New York State and Pennsylvania. In Maryland, Governor Robert Ehrlich wants to install slot machines at racetracks. They would compete with the gambling that is already offered in neighboring states.
We have Marylanders by the tens of thousands on a daily basis leaving our state, taking their discretionary dollars and spending those dollars in other states. Those other states benefit, as you know, because those states use those dollars for public safety, infrastructure, transportation, and the like.
As you see it, what's the downside here for the state of Maryland if this proposal passes?
The downside?
If any.
Very little downside. Clearly, there will be some folks who cannot handle the expanded freedom they would receive through this additional form of gaming. As usual, it would be a very small minority. Same with beer, same with alcohol, same with just about any other meat, carbohydrates, any other legal product. There will be a small percentage of people who can't handle the freedom.
Governor, why would you link this slot machine proposal to education, dedicate some of the funding to education from it?
We have a very highly taxed state here, as you know. I ran on an anti-income tax and sales tax platform, and my thought was to combine the need to save horse racing with the budget hole that we inherited and the need for additional dollars in the public education.
And by adding education into the equation, does this become more politically attractive, this proposal?
Well, it becomes more so, yes.
Maryland Governor Robert Ehrlich is one of many officials who link gambling to education. It's been happening in some states for decades. That's the bargain many states struck starting in the 1960s when they began to approve statewide lotteries. Those lotteries drew the interest of Patrick Pierce, a political science professor at St. Mary's College in Indiana.
Because education was a particularly attractive way to frame the lottery, we asked a relatively simple question, and that is, what happens to education spending in states that have education lotteries?
Pierce is the co-author of a forthcoming book called Gambling Politics. For that book, the co-authors studied 15 states that started lotteries to help education. Initially, the lotteries provided dramatic infusions of cash. But as the years went along, most of the states gradually held back education funding from other sources.
If you simply do the math, after 9 years, education lottery states end up spending less on education than states without education lotteries.
How could that happen?
The explanation may have taken academics a long time to figure out, but politicians knew it all along. The economist's term for it is fungibility, and that is state legislators could see this revenue coming in for the lottery for education. They move that revenue from the lottery into education spending and then realize that that freed up general fund revenue. So if they received $10 million in revenue from the lottery, that meant they could take $10 million from the general fund that they thought they were going to spend on education and do something else with it.
Patrick Pierce says some states, like Georgia, found ways to avoid this problem, but most states did not. He's publishing his findings in the midst of a new wave of gambling proposals. In the state of Maine, voters recently approved a measure to allow slot machines. New casinos would open at Maine racetracks and would be called racinos. The gambling industry won approval of that measure by running commercials promising that the measure would help pay for education and prescription drugs. But it was opposed by Governor John Baldacci.
Smaller portions were divided up amongst an encyclopedia set of interest, drugs for the elderly, education scholarships at universities and community colleges, and those kinds of efforts.
These racinos are going to direct some money to education, even if you're not happy with the percentage, though.
Well, it's not very much. I mean, it really isn't very much. I mean, you're talking about $100,000, $200,000, $250,000 for each one of those litany of services that they're going to be making available. But I think they were probably more beneficial for the 30-second advertisement than they were in terms of the benefits, the real benefits to people.
Governor John Baldacci is accepting racinos in Maine only because voters forced him to. But in other states, officials are trying to persuade their constituents to go along. In Texas, State Representative Kino Flores says the student population is expanding, so he wants the state's gambling industry to expand as well.
The school I graduated from 20 years ago was a little 2A school with 430 students in the high school. There's now 32,000 students in the school district. And that is being repeated all over the state of Texas. And that's what, I mean, this is this tremendous growth that we need to find a reliable source, revenue source for education in the state of Texas. And this is not going to be the ultimate one or the permanent one, but this is going to help us bridge to where we're going, whatever that might be.
You mean the installation of video lottery terminals in addition to the traditional lottery? That would be the next step that you're seeing.
That's where we're going, yeah.
And
we might be going to step four, and right now this is step two and then step three, and then hopefully we'll come up with a model that will guarantee the funding, a reliable source of funding that we need to make sure that the educational needs of all the students in the state of Texas are met.
Representative Kino Flores says that model may include even more gambling than the state is considering now.